Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Today's episode, we are going to be talking about your environment and how it is the secret to achieving optimal health. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, okay, my environment, what does that mean? Well, the people you hang around with, your house, how it's decorated, the clothes you wear, your office space, all of these things really do create you. How you act, how you feel, the goals you can achieve, the friends you have, everything. Your surroundings are very powerful to shape you. And we have data on that. In terms of the most basic data, if we go to Darwin. So Darwin the biologist, he had the concept of survival of the fittest. Animals had to adapt to their environment to survive. So, for example, certain frogs develop colors to their skin to blend in to avoid predators. Things of that nature happened. So, people adapt to their environment just as much. So, Tibetan folks who live in high altitudes actually have 85% oxygen saturations, meaning that they can do better in high altitude environments. Whereas anyone that lives at sea level, our normal oxygen saturations are between 96 and 100. So if we go to Tibet, we're going to have a hard time breathing. That's why you see all of the oxygen tanks and things of that nature when folks are climbing Mount Everest. Same thing goes for going up to Summit County in Colorado, where the altitudes are higher as well. A lot of people need oxygen up there to not feel sick and tired and just achy. So eventually people do adapt. It takes about a month from what I saw when I lived in the mountains in Colorado. It takes about a month to adapt, but you can. And you can change things well. And so we are just like animals. We adapt to our environment. Let me put this example out there for you. How many of you left your hometown to go to college and you only went home to visit after that? Or now you currently go back and forth here and there a little bit to visit your folks. What did you notice about the people who never left town? Who stayed, maybe went to college locally, but they never left? They're different than you. And of course, there's stories about how people who left married early and, you know, have a bunch of kids, whereas those who leave and go to college maybe, you know, delayed having kids and getting married for longer. There's different environments, different experiences. What about the social circle in which you live in or interact in? Do you behave like them? Chances are you drink more if your friends do. And you eat junk food more if your friends do. Or you geek out on the same subjects that your friends do. So if you're interested in birds and bird watching, you might have friends that do that. So you're like your friends. You're also like the people you live with. Let's talk about that a little bit later. Now here's another thought. President Nixon supported a study run by a psychology researcher named Lee Robbins. And they found that about 20% of Vietnam veterans self-identified as being addicted to heroin. Now, when those same veterans came back home to the U.S., only 5% stayed addicted to heroin. Now, scientifically, this didn't make sense until they dove more into the details. Vietnam being a stressful environment, back in the U.S., a very different environment. These individuals that didn't maintain their addiction changed their environment. This is why when you go to any program in terms of rehab for alcohol, drugs, etc., you're going to find that they're going to talk about changing your environment. Environment has a lot to do with how you achieve your goals and if you can reach them. Now, a lot of folks that come into my office want to get healthy, want to lose weight, and they struggle with it. And there's a big connection here. Because if you're living with someone who isn't committed to eating healthy or being healthy, you're going to struggle. And if you're living by yourself, but you're bringing home junk food, we all know that if you keep bringing junk food into the house, you're going to eat it. That is, I mean, it's just human nature, but it's also your environment. If you don't have things in your environment for you to snack on that are junk, you're not going to do it. Now, granted, there are situations in which you're going to leave your home and you're going to go get that food, but that's another story. I'm just talking about what's around you all the time. You're going to more likely grab carrots if they're cut up and washed and in your fridge versus potato chips if you don't have the potato chips in your house at all. So these are things to think about. A lot of us, when we're struggling with getting healthy, can kind of think on that level. But those of you who are struggling to get healthy, but weight isn't really your issue, it's more of just trying to get habits set to go walk, habits set to de-stress. If your partners or whoever you're living with are not into that, you're going to struggle more. If your home is not conducive to relaxing because there's clutter everywhere, that's going to shape your ability to stick with the plan. So what do I see in my office? I see a lot of folks who fail to stick to their diet plan. I see a lot of folks who fail to just take care of themselves, fail to put themselves first. Why is that? It goes back to environment. If you've let your family abuse you, basically, and rely on you for everything, then of course it's going to be very difficult for you and your environment to be able to take care of yourself. Can you retrain yourself? Absolutely. But it's going to be difficult. Now, what about you out there who have trouble sticking with healthy routines for an extended period of time? I seem to find that a lot of people will tell me, oh, I was doing so good. You know, I was getting out walking. I was doing this and I was doing that. And then I just stopped. Okay, why did you just stop? Did you go on vacation? Did you change something else in your environment? Chances are, if I look at it, their environment changed. Something negatively affected their routine. Vacations often do disrupt things. But you can easily get back on track after vacations if your vacation is also a reflection of you. If you keep your vacation environment a reflection of your healthy environment. Something to think about there. No. I kept thinking in my office for a long time, why do I keep getting these repeat, I call you repeat offenders. Those of you who are listening who are my patients, yes, it's repeat offenders. But I do it with most loving endearment because I know that there is something impeding you from your good will, your good nature. You want to get healthy, but something's blocking. And I really think that over and over again, the biggest issue here is environment because it's one of the overlooked things. I can see you in front of me, but I can't see your house. I don't know what's going on in your home. I don't know about your relationships with your family, your friends. I don't know that intimate part of your life. Only you do. And I think this is one of the overlooked, but also the missing key to helping folks get healthy routines that stick. Now, I talk a lot about changing habits, and I have a whole podcast, episode 111, where I talk all about how to make good habits. But what I've found, and I'm starting to learn, and I'm a work in progress just as much as everyone else is, I'm starting to find that, oh, wait a minute, we can change habits, but if we change habits in a negative environment or an environment that doesn't support our goals, it might be hard to keep those good habits going. And this could be why I keep seeing folks falling out of their healthy routines over and over again, because their environment didn't change. Environment has to change first before you fit in the habits, because the outcomes are far better when you create habits that fit your new environment, the environment you actually want. So setting habits around the environment that you want is so much better than trying to fit in habits in a broken environment. Let's just put it that way, or an environment that doesn't match your goals. And speaking of that, I'm going to talk to you today about how your environment has to match your goals, your desires, and ultimately it has to support and inspire the outcome that you want to achieve. Now you might be thinking, oh my gosh, that sounds like a huge undertaking. Well, one step at a time. So what I often see in my office is that I've got patients who are trying really hard to get healthy, but they've got partners who aren't into being healthy or not there yet. Partners who are depressed, partners who are anxious, partners who are alcoholics, addicted to something. They're lazy. They don't want to do things. So if you're surrounded by a partner like this, chances are you have friends like that too. And we all know that if you're an alcoholic, you can't exactly keep hanging around with your friends that drink. It doesn't work out so well. So same thing goes for those of you who are trying to get healthy. You can't hang around with folks that aren't interested in being healthy. It doesn't work. Now, I know in the situation in which you're married to someone or very long-term relationships, this is a problem, right? Those of you who are single, you got it easy. You folks can just, okay, you know what your environment is. You know who you need to surround yourself by. Boom, it's a lot easier in that aspect. But those of you who don't have, who do have partners and husbands, wives, etc., kids, this is a tougher situation. But it is also something that you need to work on with your housemates, your partners, etc. You gotta work on it. Maybe there's some counseling involved. Don't know. But something so that everyone in your environment is helping to inspire you and support you. Now, I bet there's a bunch of you out there who are not great at taking care of yourself and you do a lot for others going, oh, how am I going to ask my housemates, partners, etc. to support me? Do you want your goal or not? Do you want to lose the weight? Do you want to be healthy? What's your end game here? What do you want? Do you want to be depressed and stuck in the same situation for life? That's your choice. But there are ways to get around it. There's counseling. There's things you can do. And people can change if they want to, if they want an outcome. Now, I'm talking a lot about things that I learned in the book Willpower Doesn't Work by Benjamin Hardy. His book is awesome to inspire you to think about the environment. And I'm glad that it came into my lap for me to really realize, okay, this is one of the missing links with my patients. So I have his book linked at the end of my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. So if you're looking for that, Benjamin Hardy, Willpower Doesn't Work. It's a really good read. It's a quick read too, but it does help you with wrapping your mind around environment. So to get the environment that you want, you have to think about this. There has to be a vision. You have to have that vision of, this is who I want to be. And yes, that person can flux. It doesn't have to be completely, you know, hard and fast. It can flux, but there has to be the idea of who do I want to be? What do I want to be? What does that person look like? You're creating a new person here. Think of it just like an avatar on a video game. You're going to sit down and you're going to spend time on this. You want to write down the details of this person. You want to get to know the person. You want to feel this person in your skin. You want to remember you are creating someone new here. You're not going to be same old you. You're going to be you upgraded. How do you get there? Well, you have to think about, what does this person wear? What does this person do for work? What does this person do for hobbies and entertainment? With your ultimate goal in mind. You have to keep that ultimate goal in mind. In my case with patients, we're talking about health. How does this healthy person dress? How does this healthy person have fun? How does this healthy person blow off steam, exercise, etc.? So you got to think about these things. You also want to think about, okay, what does this person look like 10, 20, 30 plus years from now? What's the person doing then? Now, like I said before, there doesn't have to be this concrete outline. It can flux. But the idea is, as long as you're moving towards optimal health. Now, you can see, you can apply this to careers as well. Of course, I'm talking about health. I'm not a career advisor, but it can be interchanged. So what do we need to figure out in terms of you for optimal health? How do you eat? So you need to write out, like, how are you going to eat? How does this person move? How does this person de-stress? How does this person think? And I think the thinking and the psychology in this is the biggest aspect for so many of you out there. Because if you're already feeling depressed, chances are it is because of your environment. Your environment doesn't support you, doesn't uplift you. We have to work on positivity. We have to also think about, okay, how does a healthy person think? How does someone who's trying to get healthy think? What kind of thoughts do you have? And it's all about you. And for a lot of people, that's scary to think about, well, what am I going to think? I don't know. I think for everybody else. No. Put yourself first here. Really think about if you're healthy and your mind is healthy, you're happy. Your mind is thinking positive. You're thinking about all of the different things that you are going to do to keep yourself healthy. You're going to be selfish. Yes. You are going to be very selfish in terms of taking care of yourself and guarding that with your life. Now, yes, they're selfish in terms of other things, but I'm talking about selfish. You're going to be selfish when it comes to you and your health. You've got to put that first. So that's how you're going to think. Now, once you have that all on paper, you're going to be creating an environment that supports the new person you're trying to create. So first things first, you've got to work with your living spaces. And I think the kitchen should be first, since if we're looking at optimal health, we have to have the tools in our kitchen that are useful for us to obtain optimal health. So if you're going to weed out tools in the kitchen, the Vitamix stays, the deep fryer goes. You get the idea. It's things that do not serve you. Get rid of them. Now going into the pantry and the fridge, you're going to throw out anything that doesn't have what you want in it or what you suspect is not healthy for a healthy individual. You know, anything that's got hydrogenated oils, the junk food, all of those things that are hanging out in your pantry or your fridge, they go. Things with high fructose corn syrup, you get the idea. Things that aren't healthy. We all know what should be in there, what shouldn't. You know, the ding-dongs and the ho-hos that are in the pantry go, and you keep your whole grains. You keep, you know, some canned beans in there for emergency situations. And yes, I'm talking about foods that are, ooh, scary foods, lectins and all that in them. They're a lot better than ding-dongs and ho-hos. We're talking about the scale of things here. I'm not talking about trying to cut out certain food groups. Because one of the big things I do have to talk about is that if you're trying to get healthy, trying to follow keto or this or that in terms of a diet plan, that's beyond where you're at right now. You're just getting yourself healthy. You're just trying to eat things closest to nature. If you really want treats, just save the treats and snacks for desserts when you eat out. Don't bring it home. Now home, in the home in general, clutter is a big issue. Clutter can be depressing. It can be frustrating. And if you live with someone that likes to hold on to things and create piles, it's time to work through that with that person. You also need to work through things that keep you in the past. Do you have pictures, memory, trinkets, jewelry that are negative? If they're positive, keep them. If they inspire you to get healthy, keep them. But if they don't inspire you and they're just there taking up space, get rid of them. I mean, how many of you out there still have clothes from high school? I know this is crazy. But I'm starting to find when I ask people, there's still some things from high school that they're holding on to. Or what about clothes that are even 10 years old? Why do you still have that? Maybe it's cute. Maybe you spent a lot of money on it. But is that you? Does that fit the person you're trying to be? Are you hiding in oversized clothes? Does that fit who you want to be? Do you have clothes that you can move well in? That you can feel comfortable in? Or do you have a bunch of high, you know, 5-inch heels? 5-inch heels do not inspire movement. You can have them for when you look cute and you want to go out. Great. But keep in mind that you need to be thinking about what do you as a healthy person need for clothing? What kind of things should you have that aren't going to keep you in the past, that are going to inspire you and get you moving? Something there. Just keep in mind about that. Decor. This is another biggie. What does this new person decorate like? I've found that even people who paint their home in certain rooms that they use for de-stressing or the bedroom or say it's your art room, whatever it may be, consider some new paint in the house, new pictures, maybe even ditch some furniture. You got a chair that's worn out and you like to sit in it, but it is really worn out and it's hurting your back and it's preventing you from optimal health. Get the freaking thing out of your house. Come on. It's those things. So you need to look at your decor, even though you know, tchotchkes, trinkets, things that collect dust, those things, do you need all that to create your new person? You look at it and you go, does that help me create my new person? I don't know. Or does that keep me stuck in the past? Things to think about. Things that inspire you. That's what you want surrounding you. Now, you also want to create a chill space in your home that you can retreat to. This would be the space for movement such as mobility work, stretching, yoga, whatever it may be, but also the space where you distress. This is your space. You claimed it. It's a corner. It doesn't have to be big. Just something that's yours, because I think a lot of people don't have a common space that's theirs in their home. It can double as something else. I have a space in my home that we call Julie's room. It is my sister-in-law's room when she comes to stay, but it's my room when she's not here. It's where I chill. It's where I write. It's where I do all of the things that I like to do that inspire me to be the person that I am. Now, I also have an office space in my home that is where I work. That's what I do here. In fact, I'm there right now. This is where I'm recording my podcast, my office space. So creating spaces that inspire you to be who you want to be. Look around your home. Is it inspiring or does it need a little help? This doesn't have to be anything crazy. You could go to garage sales and get stuff to help inspire you. Out with the old, in with the new. That's the idea. Now, let's talk about the spaces that you occupy. Your car, your office. Do they reflect the person you want to be? If they don't, things to think about. My car is full of dog hair, and my husband just cleaned it recently, and you know what? I felt like a new person in that car, because what I had done is I let my dogs take over my car, and it wasn't putting myself first. Not cool. So these are things to think about. Is your car a reflection of your kids or you? And I'm not talking you put stickers all over or do all that. It's just thinking about if you want a healthy life and you want your life to be clean and organized, well, then organize your car and your office space too. And use your office space to help propel you forward too. Think about that. Now, on to relationships. I know that I talked a little bit about it, but it's a big deal. To achieve optimal health, you need to surround yourself with healthy people or other people who are trying to get there that are going to inspire you. You don't want ones that you're going to have to cheerlead. You do not want to be stuck with an energy vampire. Those individuals who suck the life out of you do not propel you forward. You got to find other friends. In fact, you need to look for a role model, someone who's ahead of you in the game, someone who's a little bit healthier than you, someone that is really on their way to making some huge changes. And if you don't have anyone like that, considering hiring a mentor, someone that can inspire you to do more, be more. You know, there's some great docs out there that can do that. There's a lot of health coaches out there who are really great at that. And I'm working really hard to try to do this for my patients too, because I feel like, boy, if we just had someone we can look up to and someone that's got it a little bit more together than us. I'm not going to say anyone perfect because nobody is perfect. I am definitely not. But once someone who's one step ahead so that you can kind of see, okay, this is where I'm heading and just keep progressing together. Someone that's going to support you in those efforts. This goes the long way with the relationships too, because it's hard to be in a relationship with someone that does not support the same things you do. It's hard to navigate this though. I know. And this is where perhaps going and getting a counselor and working on it together can be extremely important. So I don't want folks to get divorced and I want folks to get along. And I think a lot of folks really do get together having the same goals, but then things happen along the way where they lose interest and lose motivation. You can definitely motivate each other, but you need to have folks who are just a higher step ahead of you to keep you inspired and in the game. Another big thing that I see all the time is unfortunately with couples, if they never live together and then they live together, all of a sudden the woman, if it was a woman, because I typically will see it this way, lady gets married, she didn't live with the guy, she now lives with the guy, moves into his home, and all of a sudden she adapts his habits and she's gained weight in the first year of marriage and she's like, what the heck happened here? Well, you adapted to your environment. And this happens a lot. Think about your relationships. Think about your partner. Did you move into that person's home or did they move into yours? And who adapted to whose environment? It happens. I mean, you start to eat and act like each other after a little while. That's something that a lot of people don't think about. And it's a case of willpower that I've seen it work, where some people can stay in a relationship with someone who's not as motivated, but boy, that takes a lot of willpower, and willpower's tough. Eventually you crack. And boy, something to think about there. But the ultimate goal is you really want to work on a compromise so that you two can get your environment going together. Work together. It's teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work, as they say. But really, something to think about. If relationships, friends, people you surround yourself with really do have an effect on you and how you behave. So hobbies, free time, interests. What does this new person like to do for chilling? What do they like to do for fun? What do they have as hobbies? Do they like rock climbing? Do they like hiking? What is it? What types of goals does your new person that you want to create have in terms of fun and movement and healthy habits? So thinking about that. Now, the last part of this really is creating the little tiny habits that will flow naturally if you change your environment. Because if you change your environment, you're changing everything. So in this case, you need to create new habits because you change your environment, which is great, because ultimately, as Benjamin Hardy talks about in his book, he talks a lot about a lot of people are forced to change because their environment changes. But a lot of us aren't forced to change because our environment doesn't change. It stays the same. So I'm challenging you to change your environment to change yourself, because changing your environment forces you to change your habits. So if you're struggling with habit formation, here's your workaround. So the idea here, just to sum up this whole podcast from today, is that environments have an effect on you more than you think. You'd be shocked if you took yourself drastically out of your environment because you had no option. What would happen? How would you evolve? What would be the outcome? And if that sounds really dreamy to you, then think about it. Maybe it is time to change that environment to match what you really want in life. So I hope that I've inspired you to get thinking about your environment and ways that you can tweak it to help support you in your goal to become healthy. And I will put every single aspect that I noted today in my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. So head on over, take a look at that. I cited Benjamin Hardy's work in his book, Willpower Doesn't Work. I also talked a little bit about James Clear's book, Atomic Habits. Both of those are on Amazon. I don't get any kickbacks from mentioning both of the books. It's just books that fell into my lap that I've found extremely helpful for my patients and myself included. And of course, as always, I'm just trying to help folks live better, healthier lives. And that's what I'm here for. So if you find this useful, hit me up on the comments. Let me know. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'm always taking suggestions for new podcast topics. I'm here to help, and I really hope that this has inspired you today to get some change in your environment. Alrighty, you've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausnd.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.